one of my all-time favorites, and if you know the story of Horatio Spafford and the events that led up to him writing that song, you'll know why it's so powerful. That song comes from the depths of someone in suffering, and every time I hear it, it moves my heart. But we're going to be talking a little bit about suffering today, but not directly. I want to share with you a small story from the book of Kings. If you want to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18 is where we're going to be. And this is a story that is usually looked at, and a different character is the focal point. Elijah did a lot of wonderful works for God. And so when people share this story, they usually talk about Elijah and Ahab and Jezebel. But there's a small character that just kind of sneaks in there that I think needs a little bit of attention. And if you stop and think about his story and where he came from and why he did what he did, it really makes you stop and think. So to get a little bit of a backstory before we jump into the text, King Ahab was a very ungodly man, had an even more ungodly wife. And this was a time in Israel when everybody was serving Baal. And Jezebel went a couple of steps further than all the people before her did, in that she not only led the nation of Israel to go after Baal, but she also tried to wipe out the prophets of God. And so prior to this story, Jezebel went on a purge to try and get rid of any godly witnesses from the nation of Israel, to stomp out those that would speak out against her iniquity and sin, her husband's iniquity and sin, and everything they were propagating across the nation of Israel. So during that time, I won't spoil the story, but God was faithful, as he always is, to save those faithful to him and keep his voice reserved no matter how hard evil tries to wipe it out. And so we'll start here in 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to read, I'll read the whole story, then I'll get into my points. We'll go 1 through 16. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all the fountains of the water, unto all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between them to pass throughout it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went the other way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him. And he knew him, and he fell on his face and said, Art thou my Lord, Elijah? And he answered him, I am. Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What, have I sinned, that thou wouldest deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom, whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when he said, He is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation, and they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here. And it shall not come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord shall carry thee whither I know not. And so when I come and tell Ahab, he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy Lord, behold, Elijah is here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Now most of the sermons you'll hear around this passage focus on Elijah. And that's a great story, but I'm sure you've all heard that story, and maybe you've heard this one too. But it stood out to me about how faithful this man Obadiah was. And he just gets a couple of verses, but you get a little bit of an insight into the kind of man he was and what he went through. So I'm going to flip And I'm going to give you all of my points right up front. I'm not going to preach a lot tonight. I have something I think the Lord laid on my heart that I would like us to do before we finish tonight. But I'm going to give you, this is my whole sermon right here, 3 points. I think God has equipped everyone with everything needed for his purpose. I think you can see that in the life of Obadiah. If you look at this man in verses 1-4, he was the chief steward of Ahab's house. Ahab was the king of Israel, and so second to him, the steward of his house was the most powerful person in the nation of Israel. That was Obadiah. Obadiah had reign and oversight over all of Ahab's kingdom. And you can see that by Ahab pulling him aside, and he'd say, you go one way, and you look that way, and I'll go this way, and we'll try and save some of our cattle. He trusted Obadiah with everything he had. And that was because Obadiah was a faithful man. He was a good steward, but he was also a devout Christian who feared the Lord from his youth. He wasn't of Ahab, even though he was of Ahab. God had raised him to a place where he could use that position for good. But as we know through history, it's not an easy place to be around such evil daily, but to keep yourself clean. So I look at Ahab as someone who God equipped with everything he needed to be a good steward, to be raised up to that place, so that when the time came, he could accomplish what God had purposed for him long before Obadiah ever knew it. I don't think Obadiah set out to be Ahab's chief steward. I think that was God's plan in leading him and giving him the giftings to be successful in that role. So when the time came and the need was there, he could do what God had planned the whole time. So he had giftings. He was also in the right place. And then he was at the right time. This isn't just chance that this guy was in the right place at the right time with everything he needed to save 100 of God's prophets who were being faithful and speaking. I think of similar instances throughout history. When the nation of Israel was under great attack during World War II, many people in all different walks of life, different positions, different levels of authority, stepped out in every way they could to save God's chosen people. I also think of someone like Esther, who was elevated to the right place at the right time. And her cousin Mordecai even said, who knows if you weren't elevated to this position for such a time as this? God is always going to have people in place to accomplish what he needs to. And Satan's always going to try and stop it. But when faithful people use the giftings they've had, it allows God, no matter what Satan does, to accomplish what he needs to do. And then Daniel and Nehemiah are some other good examples. I think Daniel went all the way to Babylon, but he was God's voice to Nebuchadnezzar and many kings in the most powerful country in the world. I also think of Nehemiah, who was raised to a Babylonian king's cupbearer, and then he used that place of authority to go get an endorsement signed by the king to go back to the nation of Israel and build the wall. You can see God's hand just so miraculously giving people the giftings that they need, not just the ones who are famous, but little guys like Obadiah. Just a couple of verses, just doing what he did, it's big in God's kingdom. But he often gets overlooked. But I think this is a great example of someone who was gifted and used their time, place, and giftings to accomplish exactly what God had. The second point I have is to do what God asks, we must have faith to do what few else will do. And this one, I think, is very important to take to heart. You're not going to be championed for doing God's work. Jesus was clear about that. We can see it from Genesis to Revelation. Those who are willing to step out and do what God asks them to do, it's not going to be a popular opinion. I look at Obadiah. If he had been found out what he was doing, he would have surely been killed. And he says that here. He says, I'm being faithful, and I'm doing what God wants me to do with everything I have, but I'm in a very dangerous place right now. And if you ask me to go tell Ahab, and he finds out, I'm going to be dead. You can tell Obadiah knew the reality of the danger he was in. At any point, Ahab, as a very ungodly man who was just sway to his passions and his anger and everything else could have killed him at any point in time. But God protected him, but he had faith that it wasn't just him doing it. He knew that he needed to do it, and he had faith to do it regardless of what the consequences were. But God protected him in the place he probably would have been caught the most. He was kept safe all of his life, and that's a miracle of God. We don't know how all of that happened, but we know it happened by the little glimpse we get to see into Obadiah's life, that he was a faithful servant of God in one of the most wicked places there was in Israel, Jezebel's house, Ahab's house. That was the outflow of where all of the evil went. The purge started there, but he was kept safe. And he used, I think it's cool that he used his position to do the good. He was, where do you think he got this bread and water that he was constantly sending to the prophets every single day? Right under Ahab's nose. He was taking it out, and he was feeding the ones that Ahab and Jezebel wanted to kill. It was pretty amazing how God just twists it. He could have had many people, if one person found out about this, they would have probably gotten a great reward by turning him in. So I imagine he had to be constantly looking over his shoulder, questioning himself of who he trusted. I doubt he did it all of his own and walked that water and bread. I doubt he could have walked that water and bread there every single day all by himself. Maybe he did. But I imagine he probably had some trusted people that were in his inner circle that were helping him carry this out. And as the good steward he was probably very deliberate about who he trusted with this, that they were trustworthy people. So I imagine there were probably some more faithful in Ahab's house, maybe that he had talked to and convinced. And people who have a good influence usually have a couple of people alongside them. So we don't know. This is supposing. This is me filling in some blanks. We don't know how it happened, but we know it happened. But then the last, or I guess there's a verse that speaks to this well. It's found in Hebrews chapter 11, which is the faith chapter. And I think when talking about faith, Obadiah had a lot of it. And so right up there with the rest of the people that are listed in the faith chapter, there's this little quote which says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I think that Obadiah knew that. He knew that he would rather be found faithful when God came than Ahab. He regarded God's opinion of Obadiah more than Ahab's opinion of Obadiah. And for a while, those two were aligned, but I'm sure he knew that at any point in time, he was going to follow God rather than Ahab. And at some time, those may not be compatible, but he was probably ready to face that if that ever became the reality. So lastly, we get to our third point here. God will use your faith and service to accomplish what he wants done. And this is where we can fast forward. If you go to chapter 19, we can see the end of the story here. I'm not going to read everything here. You can do that on your own if you want. I'm going to narrow in on verse 14. This is after Elijah does reveal himself to Ahab. He goes up to Mount Carmel and he challenges all the prophets of Baal. And he shows without a doubt that God is the true God of Israel. And then they kill all the prophets of Baal there. And then when Jezebel hears about it, she says, "Surely I will kill him and turn him into what he did to all of my prophets by the morning." And then she seeks out, like she's never done before, to kill Elijah. He goes off into the wilderness to pray and to hide. And in verse 14, this is what he says to the Lord as he's praying. And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left. And they seek my life to take it away." And then if you fast forward, God says a lot of things to him, but that's not pertinent to this story. But if you fast forward to verse 18, God says, "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." God knows how to save those who are faithful out of evil schemes. And Obadiah was responsible for 100 of those. 101 if you count Obadiah himself. But God says there's much more than just this little snippet. And he even gave Elijah that snippet. Notice before Elijah's dark night, when he started to feel very alone and like, I'm the only one standing against this evil, he had given him 100 people that he was aware of personally through Obadiah's faithfulness. But when the emotion came, Elijah kind of forgot that. So God was good enough to remind him, hey, there's not even those, just these 100 over here with Obadiah. There's 7,000 across the nation of Israel, all who I've kept safe. You're not the only one bearing my name. There's many other faithful out there. So I think Obadiah's faithfulness, he accomplished what God's once done. So did probably many others. We don't know all the stories of how these 7,000 escaped what Jezebel was trying to do, but I'm going to guess there's a lot of unsung heroes who stood up during a very dark time. And it makes me wonder, throughout the Bible, we only get to see the main characters. We only get to see the big stories. How many little stories do you think God has throughout history who've done what Obadiah did, not for glory, not for credit, just because God asked them to do it? He put them in a place to do it, and they stood up regardless of what the consequences was, and God was able to accomplish what he wanted. I think there were probably a lot. We were talking in Judges this morning. Like Mark said, we're going through Judges in our Sunday school. And Pastor did ask me not to preach on Judges tonight, so I'm following that. But Mark didn't have that, so we'll see what Pastor says when he gets back. But we were talking in Judges this morning, and it always says in Judges, and the word of the Lord came to the people and told them this. So we got in a little discussion about how that went about. We don't often think about this, but I think there were probably a lot of faithful prophets and priests in the time of Judges. We often just look at the evilness of the nation, and that's where the focus of the book is. But notice how many times God was speaking to the people. I don't think he just showed up and said it audibly. I think he had a prophet. He had a priest. He had someone who was willing to stand up and tell the nation of Israel, you're going astray. I don't think the nation of Israel was just left up to their own devices without knowing. God is very intentional about making it so that we are without an excuse. And so throughout the whole narrative of the Bible, there's many faithful people who God could use to accomplish speaking the truth, standing up, using their places of influence, and that's how God works. And I think one of the things I think I look forward to most in heaven is getting to see throughout history all of the faithful people scattered out across different occupations, different places, different countries, different statuses, stepping up and saying, I regard God's opinion of me rather than man's opinion of me, and I'm going to use what he gave me, all of Ahab's house, all of this position, and I'm not going to cower and say, oh, why doesn't someone else do it? I'm in a place where they might find me out, but that person over there, he should hide 100 prophets. Obadiah didn't say that. He said, I'm in a position better than anyone else because God's given me the gifts to do it, and I'm going to go do it. And that's, I think, what God wants us to do. What do you have? What position and place has God put you in? What's your sphere of influence? And how can you use that to accomplish only what you can? I think God has gifted every single one of us with special abilities, positions, spheres of influence, so that we might be found faithful like Obadiah was. And then when we go to see him, he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. I think that's what my goal is to hear that statement whenever I go to meet my Father in heaven. So that's it for the message. I told you it was going to be short and sweet. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer, and then we'll go into the last part of this message. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the faithfulness of Obadiah. I thank you for many faithful witnesses and people who were willing to stand up in dark times and use what you've given them as you give the ability to do what you've called us to do. Father, I pray for each one here that you would give us wisdom and guidance about how we can be faithful in our lives, how we can see Jesus make an impact in our lives, but then in the lives of those around us, that we may be a faithful witness to all who see us. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, what I want to do now is, and there's a couple reasons I want to do this. One, I think it's always important to pray. God says, my house shall be known as a house of prayer. And I know we've done this on Sunday nights a couple of times. But I think especially with just where our pastor's at right now,